Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 508, Halo Cosplaying with the 405th, recorded live on October 1st, 2015. Everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm, and tonight we have a very, very special episode as we are talking with the folks from the 405th. For those that don't know, the 405th is a Halo cosplaying group. They make armor, they make weapons, and they know a lot about when it comes to Halo cosplay. So I got a panel of guests with me tonight to talk about anything and everything cosplay, going to conventions, making your own armor, weapons, everything of that nature. So it's going to be a very informative podcast for those that are interested or have ever even thought about doing any Halo cosplaying of any kind. This will be the podcast for you. Starting off, we have Mr. Benedict Choi. Welcome to Podtacular.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Jeremy Sloan.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? You got a quite a bit of a showcase during our pre-stream with all the videos that we had.
Yeah.
Hopefully we didn't embarrass you too much.
Yeah, well, Yeah.
Craziness,
you know.
Okay, fair enough.
We just got the MSNBC segment posted up today, which was insane.
Yeah. It was a good segment.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was really good.
It was. I was happy with how it turned out. Our friend Todd Kenrick from Cosplay Boom did a great job shooting it.
Nice. And we'll get to that in a little more detail here in a bit. Next up is Danny Yuan. I always pronounce your last name wrong, so I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's kind of a weird name to pronounce, but hello.
Welcome to the show. And last but not least, we have Jose Valdez.
Yep.
Just call him Red.
So,
Red.
The sole Red from the 405th here tonight.
Yep.
So everyone here is from the 405th. They've been in cosplay at some point. I think I've met every single one of you guys at some point, whether it be San Diego Comic-Con this year, PAX, RTX, any of those places. I think I've met every single one of you guys. And I'll say this from firsthand experience. These guys are awesome. They're super passionate about all the stuff that they build. And there's some really cool quality stuff that's out there. So there's lots of ways to get involved with it. First off, you just find out what the 405th is. You can go over to their website. They got lots of tutorials on making stuff, but we're going to kind of do a high level overview of what kind of is what they do, how to get involved and all that kind of stuff. So first of all, let's kind of go down the list and we'll have each one of you guys talk about how you first got involved with the 405th, what your role is within the 405th, and what your favorite cosplay armor slash costume is. So we'll start with you, Ben.
Okay. Let me see. How did I get involved? Comic-Con, actually. Just San Diego Comic-Con. I went for the first few years kind of, you know, as a civilian. And I saw, you know, people running around in armor, and I thought to myself, God, that's awesome. I'm going to go build myself an ODST outfit. And I'll get it done in time for Comic-Con in 2009. And then I got it done in 2010. And so I just, you know, went to like a Halo Reach panel, and I popped my head through the curtain, and I saw these other cool guys in armor, you know, like Danny there, and they kind of took me in, and just has been going forward since then. So I've just been building and building. Great group of people. And let me see, my favorite armor is actually my Reach Air Assault, which, though I kind of get mistaken for Cat way too often, it was still my favorite armor. That's the problem. I wear a blue Air Assault, and I think like only one person ever said, oh, look, you've got male hand plates. Those are, you're a guy. I was like, yes, thank you for noticing. So.
Well, Cat was so memorable from Reach that it's hard not to kind of jump right to the conclusions that you might be Cat.
Yeah,
I would say that armor is definitely one of the more bluest of armors that I've seen anyone wear.
Yeah, I actually can even look in the picture. I'm quite the only blue person there in my Athlon armor.
Yeah, for anyone that's watching the live stream right now on Twitch, if you look at the guy who's most blue, that just kind of sticks out as the blue, that's Ben. So in the picture,
blue is,
and that was actually at San Diego Comic-Con this year, which was awesome. This was my, that was my first time to actually see you guys do a photo shoot and get to take pictures there with you guys, which was so cool to see everyone there. It was awesome. And the other question is, what is it that you do within the 405th now?
Oh, right. So these days, I am the XO of the Pacific Regiment, because we're divided into a bunch of different regiments for different parts of the country. Pacific takes up the West Coast, so from here all the way from California all the way up to Washington, and apparently we have Alaska and Hawaii with us. And so I help, I guess, organize. I'm second in command. First is, well, Danny. I just help do all of the organization stuff, and I also make merchandise. I'm sure you've seen our shirts.
Yeah, and there's actually some pretty cool new stuff, which I don't know if you're, you can't talk about, but there's some pretty cool new stuff that's coming down the pipeline that I'm happy to get my hands on.
I call it the fall line.
Yeah, so lots of cool stuff for that. Jeremy, why don't you tell us about yourself?
I'm Jeremy. Got into Halo cosplaying, the quick rehash, fell in love with the Halo 3 ODST trailer, wanted armor, found out about the 405th, kind of dabbled around with it, started learning how to do it, never really got too far with it, and then I had a horrific accident at work that put me in a wheelchair for a few months, and figured what better way to keep my sanity than... carrying this on. So I got my first set of armor done. I actually did a Halo Reach armor for the Halo 4 launch, my first event in armor. Got out, did that, started myself and another 405th member here in the area, we started kind of pulling everything together, finding all our local members, and formed our group called the Hood's Hellions. I'm currently the, I guess, commanding officer for the Portland, Southwest Washington area 405th. I'm on my fifth suit now, I think.
Wow.
I have my blue Spartan Paul DeMarco, which in any pictures you'll see, I'm always in the back row because I'm usually one of the tallest guys in the group. So all you ever see is my helmet sticking up from behind everyone else. But yeah, that's the short version right there.
Cool. All right, Danny, how about yourself? Your turn.
So I got started in Halo back in 2009. As far as the costuming side of it, it was just a period in between school starting. And I was bored and I was playing a lot of Halo. And a friend said, oh, have you seen this little video on how to make your Halo armor? And everyone saw it. It was a video where they use aqua resin. And they're like, oh, you can build a Halo suit for under $100. Which wasn't exactly accurate, but it got me started on there. So I started looking at the 405th and got into Pepecura and made my Halo suit in a month or two for the ODST launch. And I went around in there. And then next year when I was in college, the San Diego Comic-Con was right around the corner from where I was going to school. So I was like, okay, I got to go there. Hey, Bungie's going to be there. Halo Reach is coming out. I should try and build a Reach suit. So I built one in about 2 weeks. It's a terrible suit. I'm not sure what I was trying to do there, but since it was one of the Reach characters, Bungie loved it. And then at that point, I really wanted to meet other Halo fans that built armor. So we did a little cosplay gathering there, and that's where I started meeting Ben and these other folks. And that's kind of where we, I decided, you know, every year or at different events, we try and meet up in the area and get together and do gatherings. And that's kind of how we eventually spawned into a more organized regiment, organized cosplaying group to where we are today. So I started from a little casual get together of people that built costumes, and now we're this big, large organization. And the 405th existed before then, but it's mostly forum-based. So it's kind of our big contribution here with the 405th Pacific, is trying to take that from just a bunch of people talking on a forum to a real personal community.
All right. And your position on the 405th?
I'm the commanding officer for the Pacific Regiment. So I kind of manage all the members along the Pacific Coast overall, like more of the larger structure stuff, you know, while Ben and Jeremy actually are dealing more with the individual members nowadays. And then I also manage the Twitter account. So when you see nothing posted on the 405 Twitters for days, feel free to yell at me because that's fun. But before I took it over, it was just basically reposting the Facebook feed. So I figured it's better than nothing.
So. Gotcha. All right, Jose, you're bringing up the rear. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I started not too long ago. It's actually kind of funny because the way I started was with just a simple cardboard costume a long time ago because I was a huge Halo fan. I've been playing since Combat Evolved. And my buddies and I, we wanted to cosplay as Spartans. So we decided we'd do like a parody version. And we ended up making these really dorky looking cardboard suits that never saw the day of light. And from there, I started teaching martial arts for a while. And a couple of my friends, they really started taking notice of how artistic I was with a lot of like drawings and paintings and things like that. And they said, hey, you should really, you know, pursue that skill. So I said, yeah, you know what? I'll give it a shot. So I decided, you know what? I'll start off with Halo. I'll do something Halo related, you know, with my art. And so the first project I made was the Halo Reach Recon Helmet. And from there, I was kind of thinking, okay, well, maybe, you know, I could probably sell this helmet, you know, to someone who might be interested. I wasn't too fond of it at that time. And so I started looking up on Facebook pages for, you know, people that are Halo enthusiasts and things like that who might want a costume helmet or whatever. And I found, what was it? I think it was the RPF. And then from there, I found my buddy, Jeremy Sloan and, his friend, Ryan Tucker. And we started a page. Well, I approached them to start a prop page. And at first, I think they were a little, skeptical of whether or not, you know, they wanted to join a group with me because they didn't really know me. I just kind of approached them and said, hey, we should do a prop page together. And, it was just really random. And so we started Armory Props. From there, I was introduced to the 405th page by a few friends. Danny was one of them, and that's where I met Ben and the rest of the gang. And it's just, you know, I've been going since then. So
very cool. And do you have any specific position within the 405th as well?
Yeah, I am a member. And a pain in the ass red team leader of the 405th.
Yeah, he's the token red that we drag along.
Yeah, filthy red.
There you go. Again, if you're looking at our Twitch stream right now, the guy that's in red, just about as red as Ben is blue, that's Jose.
Yep.
So we got both ends of the spectrum in here right now.
Yeah, we often have little debates on Facebook of red versus blue, and you know, in the end, we all love each other. We're all really good friends, and we just poke fun at each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great. It's great stuff. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the armor stuff, and I mean, kind of going on the whole line of how you guys got started. It seems like there's a lot of focus on the ODST armor for people starting just to get in. Ben, you mentioned ODST, Jeremy, you mentioned ODST, Danny, you mentioned ODST as kind of being one of those influential entry points into making armor. So what is it about the ODST armor that really appeals to people trying to do this for the very first time?
I can take that.
Go ahead, Danny.
I was going to say, the ODST armor, it's very practical. It looks like, you know, it's built for a regular everyday person to wear. It's and you've seen it in live action a couple of times. Also, you know, prior to Halo 4's launch, we had not seen, Halo Reach, excuse me. Prior to Halo Reach, we hadn't really seen live action Spartans, but we had seen these live action ODSTs and Marines in things like the Weta Workshop, Weta Shorts, which really got people excited, being like, I could make this a real thing. You know, with the Halo 3 Landfall Shorts and We Are ODST, I think that played a lot into this urge to see Halo realized in a physical aspect, not just in a digital.
Also, I think one thing that I've actually heard from a lot of people, what as far as the ODST goes, is somehow in their head they think the ODST is a simpler costume than the Spartans.
That is exactly why I did that. I started off with an ODST suit, and I was like, this has got to be easier. And then it turned out there were more pieces to build.
Yeah, in reality, the ODST actually has more parts and is more complicated rigging-wise than a Spartan costume.
I'll actually say, though, you don't have to concentrate as much on an undersuit for an ODST compared to a Spartan, like, 2 or 3 or a 4.
That's true.
The plus side of an ODST suit.
You don't actually have to wear skin-tight clothing that clings to you very much. Because, you know, when I'm in my Spartan 3 outfit, looking like Cat, you know people are staring straight at my butt. But I'm an ODST.
I believe we have pictures of that, don't we, Ben? We actually have pictures of somebody staring at your butt.
Yeah, multiple. Pictures of people staring at my butt during cons, so.
Why don't you tell them the Kenneth story?
Which story?
The Kenneth story.
Kenneth, okay. So, Kenny is one of, also the members of Pacific. I've actually known him for quite some time. He was there the very first time I showed up in my Reach armor, and we were all wearing helmets and stuff like that. And, you know, he was looking at me, he's like, oh, look at that. Hot cosplay girl. I'm gonna have to go talk to her later. Of course, you know, after the shoot, I take off my helmet, and he's like, "Oh, dude, no!" And that was the first or only time that happened. In fact, I think somebody else also thought another girl who was there thought I was a girl when I was walking up. It's like, "Yeah, fellow girl." It's like, no.
You just have a very effeminate body. Fit, I guess, in your armor.
I guess it's very
no. I really think it with Ben. It's just the fact that he chose light blue aerosol armor, and everybody goes, "That's Cat."
Cobalt. The armor is cobalt, and I've had that since Halo 1. So there.
I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying everybody else associates that with Cat, and therefore you must be a girl.
Yeah. I'll get it. Oh, people don't, you know, church is cobalt, but nobody seems to think church and stuff like that.
Because your church isn't an aerosol, so.
Yeah. I think if the blue was a little more washed out or a little more whiter, you might not have as much of a problem. But that's just personal opinion, and I don't even know what I'm talking about, because I haven't cosplayed, so I'm just kind of pulling stuff out of my butt here. But it's definitely one of those things that I think people relate to the ODSTs more than the Spartans, because it is like that is the soldier that you most relate to. I think that's one of the reasons why everyone's campaign, their favorite, most of the time you hear people say ODSTs, because you can relate to their story a lot more so than you can a super soldier in a fully mechanized armor suit.
They're the most human.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it, is the average person really identifies with the ODSTs because they are people, not these, you know, genetically modified super soldiers that, you know, like Master Chief in the game, you never see a face. In Halo 3 ODST, you saw the faces of almost everyone in the game, so you could identify with them.
It was almost like saying anyone can be an ODST, but with the fact that they were hiding Master Chief's face as a Spartan, they're like, oh, you've got to be specific to be a Spartan.
That's true.
I guess that's true. It makes some sense in the whole realm of how people relate to it.
That is harder to identify with Noble Six than, you know, Nathan Fillion. But then, you know, the rookie's kind of quiet, too. So you get
that was one of the creative things done with the game, was you know, never seeing the face, or in the case of Rookie, you know, never really hearing the voice, was it really put you into that character.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's actually a big selling point, I think, for that campaign. But then again, who doesn't want to be Master Chief either?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I actually avoided, for the longest time, I avoided building myself a Master Chief costume just for that fact, was everyone is the Master Chief. You know, the Master Chief costume has been done by so many people, and I don't even remember why I finally ended up doing one myself, but I was really glad I did in the end.
Aren't we all just a little Master Chief inside?
Yes, we are.
I think being Jose, nerds, yeah.
Jose is a really little Master Chief. And for anybody that doesn't know, Jose is a smaller stature Spartan.
Proud of it.
And we love him so for it, Ben. Too.
Yeah, I'm relatively short, too. Contributes to the people that can the girl.
It is what it is.
Well, so, that's one thing we have all kinds of different people, and I don't care if you're small, tall, short, fat, whatever. We're there to have fun. And we always all have such a great time doing this, you know, at any given event that it doesn't matter.
I think that's also another reason as to why a lot of people bid ODST over Spartan, whereas I think at some point there was a lot of people just kind of judging shorter people for being Spartans, like, oh, well, you're not tall enough to be a Spartan. So a lot of people went more ODST than, full Spartan armor.
That makes sense.
I mean, we have, personally, I'm 6'4". I wear normal shoes. I don't try to jack up my height. We have several other people in the group. We have here up in Seattle, we have Michael Murray. He's 7'3" in his George costume. We have John Groves, 7'3" in costume. I mean, literal Spartan size. But at the end of the day, it's all about having fun. If you have come out in your suit, put yourself out there, and you're looking good, I don't care if you're 4'3". We're having fun together, and that's what counts.
Yeah.
And I think on top of that, a lot of the people that get to see you guys in cosplay and the costumes and having all the weapons and props, too, really enjoy seeing you guys. It's one of the spectacles of going to something like San Diego or RTX or PAX Prime, because for a Halo fan, you see someone walk by in Spartan armor, you instantly want to take a picture with them or just... like check out their armor, see how they express themselves within the Halo universe. And it's a really cool feeling, I guess, for you guys as kind of receiving that, having people appreciate your work, and then having people be able to see that and have their virtual world be lived out in real life.
Absolutely.
So let's turn back the clocks a little bit. And can you guys go into a little bit of how the 405th got started? I know I got introduced to you guys at Halo Fest when I got to meet Adam Grumbo, and he was heavily involved with the 405th at the time. He's not quite as much now, but can you guys go into a little more about how the 405th got started, or have you guys been more recent inductees since then?
You want to talk about it, Danny? Or
can you hear me on the microphone? Okay, yeah. Yep. Okay, cool. So the 405th started out as a website called MjolnirArmor.com, which is basically Adam Grumbo had made casts of one of the Muckle costume, the Muckle statues, and worn it as a costume. He just wanted to share it to everyone. And then from there, he started building a community of people asking him, like, okay, how did you make that? So he wanted to share that information. And it grew from MjolnirArmor.com to 405th. Because he wanted to kind of capture that feeling that the 501st had, which was the big major costuming group that everyone knew about. So he kept trying to make this thing grow, and it was basically just a big wild west of people sharing information. The dream for him was always to create this sort of local organization that, you know, people got together, just like the 501st had official troopings and stuff. But for the first probably 2 or 3 years, it was mostly just this forum that everyone interacted on, but it was still a community, still people, at least where anyone that wanted to learn how to build Halo armor would all just come to this central location. But over time, the forums started to have more and more problems. We had a lot of issues with people crashing. So it was just such a popular location, and the server was not ever equipped to deal with it. And also, Adam and the other moderators that attended to this sort of as a part-time hobby were not able to keep up with the amount of people that were clamoring for files and uploads and help and all these different things. So it sort of got a little bit disorganized after a while. And a lot of the different groups, this is when you start to see a lot of the 405th start to transition toward Facebook for organizing. and you'll see that a lot of people have kind of dropped out of 4th/5th, and you'll see wise of groups, like there's a Halo props group, and so there's a lot of people created their own thing that's kind of where the hotelians, you see people like Jeremy taking the lead to just kind of organize on their own, because there is still that desire. And then after a while, Adam sold the franchise, for lack of a better term, to Art Andrews, who runs the RPF, which is a great cost replica prop building community. And then Art kind of upgraded the forums, started trying to make things more official, and he formalized the whole membership and the regiment process, and that's kind of what got us to where we are today, where we actually now have more official recognition, and we actually seem like a big organized costuming group, when really we're just a bunch of dorks making costumes and hanging out with each other.
Hey, you're cool dorks in my book, so...
Yeah, and then our relationship with we had a relationship with Bungie kind of from the get go. They see our stuff, and they're cool. They were our supporters. So when Halo transitioned over 343, that relation stayed in place. Especially since we had people like a lot of people from Bungie teams transitioning over to 343. And sorry, I'm having a brain fart right now, but I know a lot like the space janitor. How do I forget his name?
Frankie.
Frank O'Connor, yeah, there we go.
Beamish the janitor.
Yeah. So, you have people like him that have been with us since Bungie's days, and they remember us when we get to 343, and they still love us, and so we've kind of kept that relationship growing, and as you can see, they recognize us at places like San Diego Comic-Con now. It's just been because we've always made sure to sort of respect the franchise. We do have people that do stuff like Cellcast and stuff, but it's always... It's always been on learning and growing. And we've actually, some of our builders have gone on to work for 343 in commercials and different things like that. They come and ask us to help out at events and hook us and tell their partners to contact us for events.
That's pretty awesome. There's other groups out there too, Impact Props, Stony Props, that actually sell some of the armor stuff that they make.
Yep.
And a lot of that stuff, I know... They had a big presence at RTX this year, and I know quite a few people that went and bought some of the Locke helmet casts, which seemed like they were a pretty fan favorite ever since that Locke armor was shown off, and with a quick turnaround build, which was insane. But how's it like to kind of go to these events? How's it like to get armor ready and then get to someplace like San Diego Comic-Con and meet up with a bunch of these people?
Oh my goodness.
Because it's a swarm of you guys.
Yeah, generally
sleep
like
becomes a distant memory. That's one.
Yeah, sleep becomes Ben back at last San Diego Comic-Con, Ben was working on his armor in the hotel room up until
panel
getting on the bus to go to the show. I at least had the advantage of having my a suit that I had already finished that I took with me. It's always crazy, though. I mean, your last-minute preparations. I went to Dragon Con, not this last Dragon Con, but the Dragon Con before, literally in the hotel room, putting finishing touches on, squaring things away, and getting ready.
I think Jose has actually missed gatherings because he was busy building the suit for the gathering. I remember correctly.
I've done that too, actually. As I recall, I had to bum rush a stage that time 343 actually had us on stage at Comic-Con, and I was so late to the panel, I burst into the door, I'm like, where's all the 405th? Suddenly you guys walk onto the stage, and I had to go bum rush from the other side.
So it's hectic, to say the least. Everyone's... we all look so cool in the armor and stuff, and the back of my mind is like, I hope this piece stays on, and doesn't fall down in the middle of this shoot.
There's the unseen part of the 405th. You see all of us in the armor. What you don't see behind us are the handlers carrying all the duct tape and the hot glue guns and keeping us together,
Absolutely. At our recent appearance, we were lucky enough, a few of us, to get to go to the 343 studios during PAX. And out in the parking lot, we're trying to get Ben dressed, and parts keep popping open, and we're grabbing the duct tape and trying to hold things together. And finally, we just said, well, screw it. Let's get in there.
At some point, you just have to say, go with it.
Pretty much.
And how much of that stuff is just routine maintenance versus like last minute additions you're trying to get onto armor?
Ooh. Well, the thing is,
there's a lot of regular wear and tear on these suits, especially with when you get to more crowded conventions like Comic-Con, where people are bumping into you all the time. It gets pieces just get damaged naturally. We have helped out a couple of film shoots with these costumes, and they just take a beating, especially when the foam suits. The foam suits are really great and comfortable, but they just like people start doing more stuff, walking around, bending, falling down the floor, people trying to do jump kicks and stuff. They take a lot of regular maintenance to keep in good shape.
As opposed to the fiberglass suits, which just destroy your body.
Yeah, they look great. They stay in nice condition, but you, on the other hand, suffer a lot more.
So. Right, where we have two main methods of construction, which are the foam, which is EVA floor mats, or the fiberglass method. And, fiberglass is rough, it's sharp, it cuts into you. Foam is great and comfortable, but, the same thing is foam gets damaged by being worn, fiberglass damages you by being worn.
That's a good comparison, actually.
Yeah.
Well, if you build the fiberglass well. The very first time, my first suit was fiberglass, and it was ODST, and the very first time I sat down in it, I heard some very loud cracks from my thigh plates, and I was like,
Uh-oh. That doesn't sound like a good sign.
Most of the people that I've talked to that have built fiberglass and then went to foam have said, I'm never doing fiberglass again.
Amen.
The positives of foam are you can build a suit rapidly to a high level of detail, whereas fiberglass is going to take you a lot longer to build. It is going to be more durable, but it's going to hurt you to wear it. Whereas with the foam, I stayed at Dragon Con last year. I stayed in my armor literally for 16 hours. With nothing more than a little rub on my legs where something was kind of tight. But, the foam's super comfortable, great to wear, but it does wear quicker. So you're going to have to rebuild parts or whole suits more frequently.
Yeah. I think I'm probably one of the few people that still likes to actively use fiberglass in their construction. Most people are definitely switching toward foam. It is a lot friendlier. We are able to get a lot more people making costumes because with fiberglass, you need this large open space, good ventilation. You can't do it in your apartment unless you want to kill everyone and your neighbor.
Exactly.
So foam is much more user-friendly and a great lower entry point. Still, I think fiberglass is a great tool and the casted parts are a great tool. If you look at some of the official suits that are made, they actually mix and match a lot of the materials. And even today, if you look, most, a lot of people use urethane cast helmets, which is more in line with like sort of the fiberglass approach because it does pick up a little bit more detail and it's more durable and that's sort of their showpiece one. So
yeah, all of my helmets are generally cast. I've used cast parts of armor, and again, like you said, I prefer to use what works best in any given situation. A forearm part that's cast is great, but when you go to bend your arm and it hits up against that cast bicep piece and gives you a nice little pinch, that's when a foam bicep piece would work well.
For a lot of the armor stuff, too, it sounds like, based on what you guys are saying, the foam is a lot more of a suitable choice when it comes to just being able to replace pieces and not scratching you. But the helmet stuff, I guess that's where you do want the more durable stuff because that's not really going to hurt you that much if you have the right foam inside the helmet to keep it from moving around.
Yeah, and the helmet tends to be a lot more of a focal point of any given suit, because everybody's just staring at your head and just, the helmet gets...
Well,
so much
Ben's
more
case,
attention than everything.
Might be a little different.
Yeah, that was coming. Well, actually, my helmets are made of foam, so I guess that's why no one has ever noticed. They're looking at something else.
There you go. You just need to change up your game a little bit.
Well, actually, I originally had my helmets made out of fiberglass and harder materials, too, but I'm clumsy, and I have a tendency to drop helmets and things like that, and I've cracked more than one, including my girlfriend's, right before Comic-Con. So I ended up making our helmets out of foam, mostly due to my clumsiness. So it takes impacts better. You know, it's like a little sponge hits the ground.
Yeah, and that's a lot more durable. And so for the armor pieces, do you guys have extra pieces lying around for the ones that you know are most often worn out or most often get damaged while you're just kind of walking through crowds? Or is it just something where once a piece is damaged or worn out, you just go ahead and make another one?
I think because a lot of people tend to build their armor out of foam these days, as soon as the convention's over, they kind of just immediately go to build a new one, or they just quickly repair it on the go, as opposed to where fiberglass is a little bit harder to kind of replace on the go. But when people build foam armor, at least for myself, I don't worry about the piece until after the convention day is over, and I can just go back into my room and, you know, either quickly build a new one because it's so much quicker to build a piece of armor out of foam, or just use a little bit of super glue and just patch it right up.
Just paint it like battle damage.
Yeah, that's
a good point. Yeah,
battle damage works, and you know, generally we will, you know, we always have at least one person in our group that is acting as a handler who is not in costume. You know, my wife likes to chase us around with a camera.
God bless your soul for that.
Yeah, and we'll keep a you know, she has a backpack on, and we'll keep a repair kit in the backpack. You know, some super glue, some Velcro, some a hot glue gun. So if we can find a power outlet, and you know, we'll make rolling repairs all day long. A nice trend at a lot of the conventions lately has been cosplay repair stations. Somebody sets up a little booth, and they have all this stuff all laid out for you. And all you got to do is walk up and say, "Hi, I need some hot glue." And they hand you a hot glue gun, and you make your repair, and you carry on.
Yeah, I noticed that at RTX for the past 2 years.
Yeah, don't forget Gorilla Tape. That stuff is
Gorilla Tape is good.
I believe the first time I met Ben in person was at PAX. And was it at PAX? And I had you pretty much be my hand. Yeah, it was PAX, and then he was my handler for a long time, because we were going to a panel, a Halo panel, and he introduced me to Gorilla Tape, and he saved my shoe.
Yeah, I always keep some Gorilla Tape in a pouch in my armor repairs. It helps.
So speaking on keeping stuff in your armor, I know there's quite a bit of concern of trying to keep cool and be hydrating and all that stuff, and I know some people have installed fans in their armor, water bottles and packs. What's some of the extra stuff that most people put in their armor builds for convention specific stuff, whether it be to stay hydrated, cool, for all the repair stuff you guys are talking about? What's kind of some of those extra features of armors that you guys normally see?
One of my favorite things is I chose the soldier armor set from Halo 4, which is Spartan Paul DeMarco from Spartan Ops. He has pockets. Pockets are the greatest thing on a suit of armor ever. I can carry water bottles, business cards, extra batteries, whatever I need in all these little pockets that he has around his suit. Now, when I go to a Master Chief suit, I don't have that, so I'm completely dependent on my handler or whoever is with me. I see on our little chat thing here, Spartan Long Shots on phone, nice speakers. Deal. Magnus.
He's one of my favorites.
Thank you to whoever at Bungie designed the tack pad, because now everyone just works on for their
Having your phone mounted on your forearm is the greatest thing ever.
The tactical case on the Reach thigh was a godsend. You know, wallet, cards, everything goes in there.
Yeah. If you're like Spartan Longshot, you also get the neck fan that he uses a lot.
I have to say, though, the number one con survival thing you need on your armor is the helmet fan, because it's the thing that keeps and keeps your visor from fogging up. It's like, if there's one thing you can't do without, helmet fan.
Makes a pretty good point there.
The other thing you kind of, it's not like optional, but it's like speakers go a long way, because when you got your helmet on, nobody can hear you speaking, and you yell out and think, so it's like, a lot of us have voice amps that we put in our chest plates, and then we have like a microphone on a helmet that we can hear us talking normally. Because once you get the helmet on, you're practically deaf, and on top of that, no one else can hear you, so you're kind of sealed in there. But it's all about how to communicate with the outside world, I guess.
I think one thing that should be spoken to also for anybody thinking about getting into cosplay in this capacity is you're going to receive a lot of attention. You need to be patient and realize that if you want to walk from one side of a con floor to the other, it's going to take you an hour and a half. You will be stopped. I mean, you cannot make it 5 feet without getting stopped for a picture. And once you get stopped for one picture, 30 more cameras will come out. So a good sense of patience is a survival mechanism as well.
Or having a handler do a countdown. That's actually been very helpful in the past. Like the handler does a
countdown. That's a great idea.
And then you walk 5 feet, and then you do the countdown again. And then 5 feet again.
Yeah. So I guess while we're on the topic, you guys are kind of just anticipating all of my questions. I'm loving it. You guys are great on this. So you mentioned the whole like having patience while you're going through the show floor. What's some of the other kind of tips that you could give people whenever they're actually in cosplay in these events, other than the being patient? Because people are going to want to take your picture. They are going to want to stop you and all that stuff. What's some of the other tips that you guys have or stuff that you've learned during your time of cosplaying as Halo characters?
I think one of the biggest ones for me is just having the ability to just tell people, hey, I can't stop right now. I think there's been a lot of times where a lot of times people will feel bad because they want to take pictures with you and whatnot. And you just, you know, need to put your foot down and say, I can't take a picture right now. I need to get going. So I think when it comes to cosplaying, you just really need to be authoritative and just tell people, hey, you know what, I can't do this right now. If you want, you can follow me, take a picture of me, and all that, you know.
Yeah, like you need to be good at dealing with people on the move, because if you stop, it's going to be a long time before you get moving again. And like Jose just said, is you've got, you know, look, guys, we've got someplace to be. I'm sorry, we'll be around the area all day. Some of the bigger cons, that's difficult. Some of the smaller events, you can say, look, I'll be back down in this area in 20 minutes. Come catch me then. You know, you want to be nice to the fans, but at the same time, I've got places to be. Sorry, got to go.
That's one thing we've always had to do in the Forfeit is try and balance that. You know, people, we do represent Halo and 343 a lot of the times, but, you know, Our members are there to have fun themselves, and we don't want to force them to go to events or make them feel obligated that they have to show up and attend. You know, we want to make sure they're having fun, which is an important consideration.
And that's a good point too, Danny, because like you said, you know, we're there to have fun. So I think something that a cosplayer has to keep in mind is that, hey, you're there to have fun, you know, and you always need to remember that, you know, you're there for yourself and other people second. You know, you can't always please everybody. You paid a lot for this convention. You paid a lot to build your suit. Just remember to always make sure to treat yourself first before you treat others. So,
all right. And I'm going to take a couple from the chat room here. Spartan Longshot X, he says bathroom breaks.
Bathroom breaks is a good one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's something I discovered on that exact topic. We just had recently Rose City Comic Con here in Portland, Oregon. I was one day decided wearing my Deadpool Spartan. Well, my Deadpool bodysuit that goes on under my armor requires two people at least to get it on properly, but it doesn't make any accommodations for male anatomy and using facilities. I literally just pulled my knife out and I cut a hole in the suit because I had to go. So, you know, try to plan that into your armor. Is you're going to have to use the bathroom. I don't care, you know, go before you go, but you're going to get down there and you're going to go, oh, crap, I've got to go again. And you better be able to. Otherwise, you're going to have to completely strip out of your armor. That's one of the things is, you know, a lot of these costumes are layered and you can't just take one part off. You've got to completely strip out.
There's a reason why when you see, you know, mascots at Disneyland or you see the official 343 suit that they're only out there for about 20, 30 minutes because those suits are not designed always with that in mind. So they have to get completely out of it. So like you can't stay. If you're designed like that, you cannot stay there for a long time.
And is that something that you take into consideration when you're designing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more complicated for female Spartans, too. You know, they have to kind of take off not just thighs and the crotch plate just so they can, you know, Because I built my girlfriend's armor and my sister's armor too, so I had to take new considerations into account when I was building those armors for them. And there's a lot of
problems. Yeah, in that aspect, Spartan cosplay is much more male friendly.
Yeah.
Just say when you're building this stuff, you have to keep in mind that wearing one of these outfits at a con is basically an endurance test. You know, it's going to be hot. It's going to be sweaty. You're actually practically disabled half the time because you can't really move around very much. Your fingers are covered. You can't carry stuff. You can't hear your phone, by the way, most times. So you're also, you can't communicate. It's hard.
Bluetooth.
It makes for good photos.
That's another thing I meant to mention earlier is practice your poses. I mean, so many people are going to be asking for pictures of you. Have some good poses for them. Put a show on for them. You know, that's, you know, half of the reason you're there and half of the reason they're there. They want to see these great costumes and you want to put your best foot forward. So spend some time in front of a mirror.
That makes sense. I could get behind that. Another one in the chat from Hazel Weiss. She says, have comfortable shoes.
Sabrina is actually, she's in the center of the photo in the podtacular. She's Cortana before, and then she just built her own recon armor. And yeah, comfortable shoes are a must.
Absolutely.
Or in the case of me and Jose, shoes you can run in.
Shoes that you don't have fall apart and slip and fall into a giant pond in.
Okay.
I'm guessing there's a story behind that.
Oh my god.
We're going to have to share those photos later.
Jose had a wardrobe malfunction that ended up with him slipping on a piece of his costume and rolling off into a pond outside of the San Diego Convention Center.
Was that this last
year? Once we figured out... Yeah, that was this last Comic-Con. Once we figured out he was okay, it was absolutely hilarious. But up to that point, there was a little bit of panic because he's in full armor and he's in the water.
Got it.
If you're going to have a wardrobe malfunction, have it as epic as possible. And I think Jose wins the epicness award on that end.
Epic wardrobe fail award.
Got to be somebody, right?
Yeah, somebody had to do it. In my defense, yeah. I was upgrading my armor to Oceanic. So.
Yeah.
Got it. I haven't seen any other ones in here. Any other kind of tips that you guys have? I see a couple
Someone
of people
mentioned
in here.
Eating and drinking, and that's very important. We have had a couple almost pass out. You need to drink water before you throw on the suit. And I know you're like, oh, I don't want to drink water because I don't want to use the restroom, but you're going to sweat it out.
Yeah, being well hydrated leading up to an event is almost as important as drinking the water during the event.
Yeah, we've had some 343 staff members running around getting us bottled waters because one of our Spartans just had to sit down from heat exhaustion. So don't end up like that. We want you to have fun, but we don't want you to pass out and die from having fun.
Yeah, a common thing that pops up, I actually just saw it the other day on one of the Facebook groups, was would a wetsuit make a good undersuit?
Oh, man. No.
Now I know Jose has done this, and Jose can speak to it in person. You will sweat a lot,
yeah,
wearing a wetsuit,
yeah.
And you know the more you sweat, the more water you need to be taking in. I've had days where you know I've been drink 4, 5, 6 bottles of water before lunch, and I haven't had to use the bathroom. I've been sweating so much.
Yeah. It goes back to what Jose said about taking care of yourself first. You know, don't be afraid to turn down a picture. You don't have to stay in that helmet. Take the helmet off if you need to take a break.
Yeah.
So is it one of those things that with the wetsuit, it tries to block the transfer of water between, I guess, the suit and, I guess, the air to where that's why it's not letting it out?
Wetsuits are the opposite. They trap heat. They're meant to keep you warm, which is not what you want.
You don't want to stay insulated. You want to keep as cool as you can when you're in the armor.
Yeah, Under Armour heat gear, anything Lycra. My primary undersuit is a dye sublimated Lycra bodysuit. And actually, when, if I get out in even a slightest breeze, it just instantly cools me off. Now, I'm wearing insulating foam over a lot of my body. So, yeah, where that stuff is sitting, I'm still sweating and hot. But a thin layer undersuit really helps to keep you cool and increases that endurance the longer you can stay in the costume.
Kevin says, unless you're in Canada, a wetsuit works fine.
Well, right, Canada, but, you know,
up there, yeah,
in the north where they have 6 months of dark.
In SoCal, where we have Spartan beach days, we need to keep cool.
Makes sense. I can
yeah,
definitely appreciate that.
I guess the other thing is, well, aside from personal survival, you want to also talk about armor survival. You have to make sure your armor is flexible, and you test it beforehand, because, you know, a lot of things break, strapping and joints, because when you're building it, it looks pretty when it's standing still, but you don't know how durable things are until you start moving, you know. Then all of a sudden your thigh strap breaks because you put too much strain on it because you didn't test it, or your shoulder, because it was stiff, you know, pries right off when somebody bumps into you. You always have to be ready for movement and impacts and other things like that, because there's a lot of range of motion you have to cover when you're moving your armor that the game designers didn't even account for. It's like when you look at Reach, you notice when you're reloading, their arms clip right through the chest plate and stuff like that. You can't have that luxury in real life.
One other thing at conventions, though, is respect the other fans. I know that, you know, we're usually the most impressive visually looking fans out there because we have these big fancy suits on. But we have run into certain fans where they feel like, okay, well, I'm in a suit, why don't I get special treatment, stuff like that? But recognize that, you know, 343 is trying to recognize all these fans that come over from all across the world that participate in many different aspects, not just costumes, and recognize that, you know, you are in a very impressive suit and all that, but you have other fans that do a lot of great stuff for the community, even if they may not be wearing a homemade suit, and respect them, you know, let them get swag too. Don't try and like be like, oh, I need to get this and that. And I think that's one thing that we've really stressed with our members is, you know, we aren't just like separate from the Halo community. We're part of this larger community. And so you never see us really like trying to cut in line. You know, our members wait in line in armor for a lot of events, except for the few times that 343 is like, hey, you know what? Well, we can bring you to the front. But we never ask for it. We never fight for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think up at PAX this last time, we were standing in line and they actually grabbed us and said, come on up. And they threw us in ahead of everyone. And it's cool. But again, you know, we try not to ask for that and flaunt it, because then the other fans are like, well, why? What are those guys doing? They're just jumping the line.
Well, I mean, 343 recognizes the effort that you guys put into it. So, I mean, if they want to give you...
Absolutely.
Pass out. They don't want us to fall.
And they want the photo op too. You know, they want their photographers to get us playing their video game. So...
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. One more that came up here in the chat while we were talking was from Daniela Flame. Take breaks from using a helmet very often.
Yeah. Take your helmet off. You know, a lot of the... You know, Master Chief never takes his helmet off. But
the other Spartans
we're
do.
Not Master Chief. We're humans. You know, Yeah. We've got to get some air. We've got to get some circulation in there. We sweat a lot in those helmets. The visors start fogging up. You can't see anything. So, you know, you got to just pop that helmet off once in a while and breathe. You know, step off to the side. And, you know, somebody comes running up. Oh, can I get a picture? Okay, give me a minute, please. I need some air.
That's
I'll
not
be with you 30
air.
Seconds.
And it gives you a chance to take a break and actually, like you said, breathe.
Yeah.
Get rid of some of that heat. So when it comes to building the armor, getting everything ready for whenever you are cosplaying, what's kind of the big... I mean, I know that the helmet's obviously a big focal point, but other than the helmet, what's the other big piece that you guys consider is probably the most difficult to make or the most time consuming?
Go ahead, Ben, sorry.
I was going to say that actually depends on the armor, because like an ODST, like the BDU is pretty fast. You can do the helmet and all. It's just a bunch of little plates. But the thing that I had the most trouble on when I was building my Spartan 4 outfit has been the undersuit, because with the redesign and their armor and the undersuit being so much more exposed, that took forever. Whereas when I was doing Reach, the thing that took me the longest time was the air assault helmet and then the chest plate. So it really depends on which armor you pick, I think.
I think that really nailed it there was the undersuit. You know, the armor really grabs the attention, but a good undersuit really makes it jump out. I'm reminded of our Seattle area. He goes by Evakura Armor. He built this undersuit that is like 100% game accurate and just absolutely amazing. And with the armor on it, it just, it will literally blow you away to see in person. Whereas, you know, not to take away from any of the other cosplayers that, you know, black Under Armour is a common thing. And yeah, the armor really grabs your attention. But then once you get up to it and you start looking at, you know, just detail, that undersuit always really makes a suit pop.
I will admit, whenever, like, looking at you guys during the photo shoots, Under Armour definitely is one of those things you notice.
Yeah, it's very slick and shiny, and so it catches your eye. Versus, you know, people that wear the heavier, less comfortable, but the baggier camouflage suits and stuff underneath. It at least, it may not look perfectly accurate, but at least that stuff breaks up the pattern and doesn't draw attention to itself. Versus the Under Armour, which just has this sheen to it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But back to your question, the most difficult part, at least for me when it comes to building any part of the armor, I think would have to be the helmet. If someone's, you know, going for a specific set of armor, you know, it always takes the most time just because you have to make sure it's not big or too small. You know, getting the contour on it, making sure that it doesn't look like a giant brick on your head. I think that's one of the more challenging parts of an armor when it comes to building anything.
Oh, and the visor too. Don't forget the visors.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You know, when people try to build their helmets, they end up using motorcycle helmet or motorcycle visors. And I had a person who actually bought a helmet off of me not so long ago, and he used a motorcycle visor on his and actually snapped the helmet in two because, you know, the visor was so, you know, strong that it kind of snapped it.
Wow.
There's a lot of things that you got to really watch out for when you're building your armor. You know, you got to make sure that, you know, it's durable for, you know, certain things that you're going to be adding to it. You got to make sure that, you know, it works with everything else. So
I think the two things that are going to be the biggest focal points of any costume are going to be the helmet, because everybody focuses on the face.
Yeah.
And the weapon. You know, if you've got an AR or an energy sword, or, you know, and so many fans. I mean, I got called out one time on a picture that got posted because I was wearing a Halo Reach suit, but I had a Halo 4 weapon. That's the thing that fans pay attention to is, well, why are you carrying that particular weapon with that suit? It doesn't match at all. You should be carrying this. I mean, it's the dumbest thing ever. It's like, I'm carrying a Halo 4 BR with a Reach Mark 5 armor. And I mean, totally, a fan just called me out on it. And I'm like, wow, really? It's things like that. Like, you know, Ben made the comment earlier about how somebody commented like, oh, you have the male hand plates. You know, people pay attention to little details sometime, and they will fixate on things.
Do you think that's kind of one of the benefits of being a Halo cosplayer, is because there are the passionate fans that really pay attention to that detail, and they really appreciate the work you guys put into that?
Yeah. It definitely makes you feel good about yourself when you know that you're on spot with your armor. You know, you'll have the people that are like, that is, like, you know, really accurate. It's really detailed, things like that. It really makes you feel good. But, yeah, there is a downside where if you're not wearing the exact suit that you see in the game, you know, you'll get people just calling you out and telling you like, oh, that's wrong or whatever.
But I should add that we don't do that.
No.
We love everyone in your armor. So.
Yeah.
I personally don't care if you're wearing a, you know, a Halo 3 helmet with a Halo 4 suit. If you've put the time and effort into putting the thing together, I'm happy to have you as a member. And, you know, again, we try to help each other grow and move forward as a team. And, you know, we might make suggestions, but we always try to, you know, we try to keep it on a level of, you know, I think that's great what you did, but here's one way you could improve it. You know, constructive criticism as opposed to the destructive criticism of like, oh my God, why are you wearing those boots with that thigh piece?
Yeah.
The colors don't match at all.
Yeah.
you know, red.
Fall colors. You know, somewhere in spring.
trying to help each other move forward and grow as a team is, I mean, I think what the 405th is always about. If you get on the forums, we really try to stay away from negativity and make positive comments and make positive feedback in, I see what you did there, but here's how I think you might be able to improve it.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good mentality to have, I think. So you mentioned it a little bit, and again, you guys are just kind of rolling right ahead of my questions, which is awesome. But Jeremy, you mentioned the whole weapon stuff. So that's a completely different build than doing the armor. So why don't you guys touch on making weapons a little bit?
Well, Jeremy and Jose, you guys make the most weapons, right?
We attempt.
We try.
We attempt. Go ahead.
There's such a wide gamut of techniques as far as weapons go. I mean, building an energy sword is completely different than building an AR.
So do an AR, because I think that's kind of one of the more iconic weapons that would be somewhat a base machine gun type weapon that most people
make. Here this last winter, I built the full Halo 5 AR. My awesome modeling friend Michael Flanagan over the Irish Cowboy Props, he did the model up, and he did it in a modular design. We 3D printed it. We polished it. We molded it. We came out with this amazing prop that is just like super accurate, moving parts and everything. That's the high end of the spectrum. Now you can take, we have files available at the 405th, sliced files where you can just take cardboard and layer it up and stack it into the shape of an AR, polish it up as much as you want. Andrew Cook, the frontline trooper, gentleman out of New Zealand, does a lot of YouTube stuff. He likes to use the EPS foam, which is extruded polystyrene. He'll take a razor knife and he'll carve that stuff up into just the most amazing props. I've worked with him on a few projects. It depends on your budget, your skill level, all kinds of things. My friend Derek can take literally a pile of nothing. He likes to do found props. He can take this small little items and combine them with a little extruded polystyrene or a little EVA foam and just turn them into these amazing prop weapons. I don't know if I'm just scattering here, but
forget those Boomco stuff out now. The pistol.
Oh yeah, the new Boomco blasters have just come out. Great little Nerf style dart guns.
Yeah.
Little paint job, and you can turn those things into amazing prop weapons too.
I've seen a lot of people, because it's really difficult to, you know, build a real game accurate weapon. So I've seen a lot of people start off with a Nerf gun as a base, and they just kind of build from there as well, which is totally fine, you know, because they end up still looking extremely awesome in the end. So there's all sorts of ways to go about, you know, making a Halo weapon.
Well, and the reason I said AR is because that's one of those iconic weapons. It's the first weapon that you've ever really got in the game, other than the pistol. Mm-hmm. That's kind of another common one that you see just as a generic sidearm. And there's lots of variants on the pistol that I've seen in cosplay. One AR that kind of particularly stuck out to me, at least that I've seen in person, is the one that Chris Loomis made, where it actually had the countdown display on it and it had the sound effects in it. So there's some pretty interesting things that people do with the weapon stuff too, not just actually making the weapon prop, but adding their own little tech and gadgets to them.
Chris, let's see, Crazed One cosplay.
Yeah, that guy.
I see him all the time at PAX. Yeah. Let me see. Yeah, weapons are definitely all very different. There's a lot of different techniques. So, like, I made what's it called, a battle rifle once out of just what's that thing called? Foam? Or no, cardstock. I made it out of cardstock and foam board that I just cut in layers and then resin together.
Whoa.
Let me see. I know friend Kenny makes stuff out of foam, just freehand. Like the gravity hammer I just made is actually mostly foam. Energy swords are an entirely different story. Most
I'll say
people,
that gravity hammer is pretty cool.
we have one guy, our friend Gabe, Lost Viking Props. He builds the most exquisite weapon props out of wood. He's got a little wood shop in his basement. And
what kind of wood?
Table saw. He prefers, it's poplar.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he said poplar in the past. I could be wrong about that, but I mean, like, actual authentic, and he is an attention to detail freak. And you look at his props, you would never guess that it was wood. It looks like an honest to goodness assault rifle between painting techniques and build techniques.
Interesting.
He will make a piece of wood look like a piece of metal, and it's just amazing what he does with his props and whatnot. He goes, all the way to make sure that everything just looks extremely accurate. And I've had the privilege of actually seeing some of his stuff in person, holding it, and it's still in person. It looks ridiculously amazing. It could fool me. You could sell it at a gun shop and tell me it's real, and I would say, yeah, that's real.
I was actually hanging out in his shop one time, and he just finished a prop from another game, and looking at it, I'm in absolute awe at this, holding this thing, and it's wood in my hands. I can see the wood grain, but it looks for the world like an actual weapon. And he leans over and he goes, yeah, I'm gonna have to completely rebuild that. They just came out with some new reference images. This detail's wrong. This detail's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not right. So I'm gonna have to scrap the whole thing and just start over.
Mm-hmm. Dude, and you should just give that to somebody, because people would go crazy just to have
I'll
that.
I'll take it home with me.
Yeah.
Oh, the details are all wrong. No one can see my shame.
Yeah,
I can't let the world see this.
But anybody, anybody else on the planet glancing at it would look at it, know exactly what it was, and just be in awe that it actually existed in real life.
So everyone feels about their props. There's always like, oh, there's this. It's so horrible. There's this mistake that's all wrong, and no one ever notices it. So I think that's one thing. You're always going to be the hardest critic on yourself.
Yeah, On that note, I actually got a 3D print done of my costume that I got scanned at this last con we were at. And my costume is based on basically the action figure from one of the games. And I actually got my print out and the action figure out sitting side by side. And I'm like, oh, wow, I missed that detail. I missed that detail. I missed that whole thing. What was I thinking? we absolutely are our own worst critics.
At least that keeps you humble.
Sure. It does.
A little humility. With the weapons looking like real weapons, and I guess this kind of applies to armor too, how is it to really get the finishing touches on a lot of the stuff that you guys put together? How much time does it take to actually get the final touches other than just kind of the structural build of all the armor, weapon, and all that stuff?
Painting.
It depends on what level you want to take it to.
Some people spend a lot of time just focusing on painting. It can really make the difference between something looking like a toy and something looking real. Even if you just look at a good example, is you look at these painted Nerf guns, it can really make something look realistic.
A paint job can make or break a costume. The most gorgeous costume on the planet with a bad paint job is going to look horrible. The worst costume with a good paint job is going to look great. It all comes down to the details.
So you think the time it takes to kind of paint armor and build it, is that pretty much the same amount of time as it would to build the structure? Or how much time do you spend painting and paying attention to details than you do actually structuring an armor or weapon set?
I kind of look at three phases of armor construction. You have your structural, where you build the main shape. then you move into your detail where you're going to start layering on different panels and whatnot to get the detail down. And then you move into the paint phase. And the paint phase you can even break down. You have your general, you put on a base coat, then you put on your detail paint, and then you have what's called the weathering. And the weathering is what's really going to make any piece pop.
You know, the funny thing about my weathering is I don't do weathering. My stuff looks factory fresh, and then it gets natural weathering or like Snap-on.
Yeah.
Like, my Reach armor looks spectacularly weathered now, but that's just because of, like, 3 years of con damage.
Yep.
Well, if you take a look at all the Halo 5 armor now, it's all nice, fresh, clean. It's no weathering whatsoever, so it's not too far-fetched, I guess.
Looking at my Athlon right now, and it looks relatively clean, but it's already taken on damage from PAX and Comic-Con, so it's going to get a little
wet. Yeah.
Yeah. The weathering, I mean, like Ben says, natural weathering is the best because that's like actual physical wear and tear that is real. A lot of times you can cheat it. We'll use a technique called dry brushing where you basically just take some silver paint, spray it on a paintbrush, and then just kind of dab it across the armor and it catches the high points, which gives you a simulated look of normal wear. But yeah, you never beat the real thing.
Makes sense. I guess it's kind of depending on how you want to present your armor, too, if you want it to be that clean cut or if you want it to be really beaten up, weathered soldier armor.
Yeah, there's definitely two schools of thought when it comes to armor. Is factory fresh, like Ben says, or the been through hell, I'm just coming back from combat look.
There's little details, like even just putting a little bit of darkness into the shadow areas, it makes your recessed areas seem deeper and more pronounced. Even if it's a new item, you can make it seem even more, you can make details pop at the very least if you learn these little detail painting techniques. So it's definitely worth investing. It doesn't take a lot of extra money or time, but it can really make the difference between looking like something you, a costume you made in a garage versus a real item.
Yeah, and again, weathering can actually hide a lot. If you didn't do the greatest job on construction, weathering can make it look like it's still a great suit.
Make it look like it was intentionally damaged.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's actually one thing. Covers all manner of sins.
there's a meme that floats around among costume builders. It's the it's a picture of a razor knife, and the caption is, "Oops, battle damage."
So for some of the other armor stuff that we see, like the alien armor, I know there's been kind of a recent surge, so to speak, of non-human armor. So we got to see the Didact last year. We got to see a Hunter and a Crawler this year, and there's been a couple grunts over the past couple years as well. What is it like to, and I guess Jeremy, with your Hunter build, I don't know how much you want to go into it. I know there's been plenty of videos highlighting the build, so I don't know how much additional detail you want to go to here, but what is it like to make non-humanoid armor?
I think, it's a fun, different thing. You always see Spartans running around and everybody, you get a good reaction from that. But when somebody walks through the door in a 12-foot tall Hunter costume, people just stop and stare, literally. The grunt, we have a grunt in our local group. He's a cute kid. His mom made the costume for him and he just hams it up and he loves it, dancing around. And people, even people who don't recognize the genre, they just stop and they look and they're like, okay, that's really cool. What is it? But it's really cool. It's something different. And people don't always even recognize it as associated with the armored Spartans. Once they see them in a group, they go, oh, they must be related somehow. The Crawler.
Yeah, the one from San Diego.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The Crawler from San Diego is probably, I almost say that trumps my Hunter build because it's just something completely different. You actually have to get down on all fours for your pictures because that's how the character is. A Hunter is still at least humanoid. they may be massive and imposing, but this little dog-like creature running around with giant mandibles, and you're like, crap, what is that? Get away. Make it stop.
Yeah. I was actually helping Maddie build that thing, so you'd never believe how much of a pain it was to unfold and resize that, trying to figure out where human limbs fit into a body shape that is totally not going to accommodate a person. It's like,
yeah, and that was one of our challenges with the hunter too, is how do we wrap this around a human person and still make it convincing?
But, you know, it's definitely unique. It looks cool and stands out from the crowd. I'm sure Maddie would be glad to hear you guys look. I'll have to tell it later.
I think that was one of the key ones that stole the show at San Diego.
There's this great picture of Kiki Wolfkill holding a pistol to her head.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's one thing also. The creatures, the alien creatures, they really push your sort of creativity. Like Ben said, you have to kind of figure out all these new things. Like, where does a human body fit in this? Or how am I going to pose, even just how to pose in these things? It shows what kind of thought process go into this cosplay community beyond simply, you know, just like a lot of the Halo stuff is using patterns that have been well established. With a hunter or a crawler, you can't rely on that, and you really have to go into uncharted territory.
Yeah, with the hunter, and like Ben said, with the crawlers, you know, we had to take and basically start from scratch. There were no real good existing patterns to begin with. We had to take a 3D model and just start ripping it apart to make our patterns.
Well, someone's got to break the ground on that, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, hopefully we'll see more, you know.
That's probably really, something we haven't really covered very much. People don't really talk about where, like, our Pepakura patterns come from, because a lot of our armor is, like, people base it off 3D printing and Pepakura, which I don't think we've talked about yet, have we?
No, we haven't yet. Actually, we surprisingly haven't touched on that at all with all the armor stock talk that we've had so far. So you want to touch on that a little bit and explain what the Pepakura is?
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Pepakura is a program developed by the Japanese that takes a 3D model and breaks it down from its faces into like 2D pieces you can print out and assemble together. You can think of the principle kind of like origami, I guess is the best way to describe it. And a lot of Halo armor, a lot of people that you see build their armor using Pepakura because people on the 405th model it, and then somebody takes that model and unfolds it into a pattern. And then, you know, they can download it and print it, and that's how a lot of people end up making their armor. There are some crazy people out there who are really good at freehanding, and they don't have to deal with Pepakura like we do, at least like I do.
And is that easier to use than doing another method, or is there other methods that people kind of dabble in?
So what Pepakura does is basically kind of removes the entry barrier of having to design and pattern. So people can just focus on the construction aspect versus trying to figure out like, okay, well, how do I actually create this shape? They can just focus on the gluing, the sanding and finishing. And it has allowed us to grow our ranks a lot more because people can focus on creating the suits rather than designing the suits as much because not everyone has that sort of talent for.
Pepakura helps very much with proportions, getting a piece scaled properly instead of having to sit there and try to eyeball everything by eye. We refer to it as scratch building, where basically you just do everything by hand. I have a few friends that are great at that. I'm not real good at it. I love Pepakura because I can punch in, you know, say I want my chest plate to be exactly 42 centimeters across. I punch that into the program. I hit print and it spits out templates ready made that I just cut out, trace, cut, glue, armor's built. I have other friends that can, a lot of our hunter templates, well, several of our hunter templates. My friend Alexis, she sat down and she drew a scale version of it. Well, then she took the ruler and she measured that scale version and she did the mathematics to scale that all up to get what we had. And, you know, that's very time consuming. Whereas with Pepakura templates, you can just literally punch a number into the computer and it says, well, there you go. That's what you need.
Yeah, Pep is a godsend. I would have never been able to make my armor without Pepakura, and I think a lot of people. So I'd just be sitting there on the sidelines going, I really wish I could do something pretty like that.
I'll say whenever I decide to make my entry into making my own costume, that will probably be where I'll start. Whenever I have time to actually start making my own armor.
It's really relaxing. It's like building a puzzle. So a lot of people just put on TV and just work on it.
Yeah, put some, turn on Pandora, turn on Netflix, background noise, whatever, and just go for it.
Well, one of the things for me is just finding the time. And right now, it's just with the Halo 5 launch and everything else that I'm working on. There will be a day when I will be able to work on it. But right now, it's one of those things that maybe a year or two down the road before I actually start really getting into it. But I'm definitely excited to build my own armor.
Yeah, one of the things about, at some point you just have to say, okay, I'm going to do this. You sit down and you make a piece. Now, maybe that piece never actually gets incorporated into your armor, but now you've learned something, and well, the next time you make that, you're going to remake that piece, but it's going to be better. And, a forearm can teach you so much about building the rest of the suit.
Yeah. Never stop, basically. And actually, once you start, you kind of never stop. I have been building nearly continuously since, 2009 at this point? Always trying, moving from one project to the next.
I probably started right around the same time. It took me 3 years to complete one suit, but it's a constant learning process. You learn new ways. You might finish one suit and go, okay, the next time I'm going to do all this stuff different and everything comes out better. But on that suit, you've learned so much more. And the next one, every step continues to be better.
I think one thing you have to keep in mind is just to take breaks, constant breaks. You don't want to get too frustrated or overwhelmed with what you're building, because that you get to a point where you just start getting kind of sloppy. You don't really put as much attention to what you want to do. And so your end result, you end up not being very happy with. It could be as simple as just drawing one little piece, draw a template or cut out a template and then call it a day. Next day, do the same thing. It could be a project where you've taken, almost a month to build just a forearm, and it took you like 10 minutes every day to do it, So it just really depends on how fast you want to work on something, how much attention you want to put into it. But, always stay calm and, don't frustrate yourself.
It reminds me of a saying of... I don't even remember where it comes from, but it's, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Break the whole project down into small pieces. Mm-hmm. Don't say, okay, I'm going to build this suit. Well, no, this weekend, get a forearm done. The next weekend, get another forearm done. The weekend after that, just little bits and pieces. And before you know it, you're going to have a whole suit.
Yeah.
Got it.
And that's what you want to try to do, If you're first starting, if you're just doing your first build, don't overwhelm yourself with trying to build the entire suit in like a week or a month, Take up to 4 months, take up to 5 months. I've heard people take up to 2 years to build one suit. But in the end, it looks amazing. And they're super happy with their work because they took their time. They didn't rush it. They didn't get frustrated and they didn't, just push themselves to where it's like, okay, I'm just going to build this as quick as I can.
Sometimes I'm from the other school. I say, build it, fail, and then, you learn from it and move on to the next suit and build another one, because
I think build.
So some people get hung up on trying to get everything perfect. You will never hit that point. Even the people that work at Legacy and Weta, they look at their work and they're like, it's good, but it could be better. So at some point, you also just got to be like, all right, I'm going to finish this one, and then I'm going to move on to another project, or I'm going to restart it again.
That's kind of goes for anything. Two. If you're looking to finish something, there's always going to be room for improvement, but you got to stop at some point and actually make the finished product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you just iterate.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just build. I mean, people always ask me, what order you should build your armor on when you're first starting, and I always say start off with the smaller pieces, like a hand plate, because by the time you get to like a helmet and you finished it, you've picked up so much skill on how to build and your technique that you'll look at that original hand plate and you'll be like, I'm going to replace that right now, because you've already learned. Like, it definitely does evolve over time, and I guess technically your armor is never done. It's only wearable.
Always room for improvements.
That's absolutely it. There's always room for improvements. It's never done. It's just wearable. I'm going to write that down.
Is that going to be the new motto?
I'm making improvements to my Reach or to my Athlon armor, because you saw my armor at Comic-Con. It was already different between that and PAX, and it's even different now. I've completely reworked the harness and stuff. It'll be different by April at WonderCon, so it'll be different. And then when you see me at Comic-Con, it'll be different. I'm already planning on replacing certain pieces I didn't like, so in progress all the time.
I see. Alrighty.
So maybe merge it to, you know, always just build a little bit of improvement between each time and just keep at it.
Just kind of like an ongoing project type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Alright. Well, gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to have you guys on the show, and I think a lot of people will be very happy to hear this podcast. And for those that are interested in at least getting a start, or even if you're just curious on what the 405th is or what it is like to costume within the Halo universe, then there's plenty of resources out there. Of course, the big one being the 405th itself. They have a website with forums. You can go over to 405th.com. They have forums. They have, like the folks were saying earlier, they have models that you can use, and they're very helpful in actually being able to be reached out to, willing to share experiences and whatnot. So definitely check it out if it's something that you're contemplating or are just curious about. I highly recommend you guys head on over there.
Yeah, just go lurk on the forums. You know, one of the things that pops up on the Facebook page all the time, that is kind of the old builder's pet peeve, is the guys that just post on a Facebook group of like, hey guys, do you have any tips for starting my armor? Yes, go to the 405th. Get started.
You have to do a lot of do some reading on your own also, you know, you can't
at least be able to ask a question, not how do I build armor.
We do our best to like outline it. I mean, I actually made a bunch of tutorial videos I threw on YouTube, be like, this is how you build. So there's all other tutorials all over the 405th, or like what's his name, the Frontline Trooper, he made his own thing. There's plenty of resources out there to learn, and you know, we're always willing to teach. I mean, that is the point of the 405th, to get to help other people build armor, and we all come together and make armor, you know.
Right,
we'll give you the resources, you just have to put in a little bit of work.
There you go. It's definitely worth checking out too, even if you're curious of seeing some of these people at conventions. If you've seen some of these guys in armor, then the 405th is going to be a place where you can actually connect with people and say, hey, I saw you at X and X event, great armor, really love what you do, and all that stuff. It's a good way to connect even in that regards as well.
It's definitely a great networking site.
I mean, I should be over there a lot more than I am. I mostly peruse the Facebook group, to be perfectly honest.
Honestly, I do too. Facebook's a lot easier for instant communication, whereas detailing a build is a lot easier on the forum. I direct people to the forums all the time, but I also spend hours chatting with people on Facebook, you know, trying to answer their questions and help them along with builds.
Yeah, we set up Facebook because we found it was easier for people to make these sort of interpersonal connections through that platform, because they're on it all day anyways. People going to 405th to research and stuff, but when they're just hanging out, Facebook was the best route.
Yeah, and it works pretty well. There's lots of really cool stuff that gets put up there too. Even if it's just like pictures from conventions or events, you can really get a good sense of what's going on and what people are showing off, and it's really, really cool to see. So as we wrap up, are there any other events that you guys are planning to attend that you want to tell people about? I know, obviously, WonderCon.
Well, obviously, and coming out soon, I think.
Yeah.
There's a game coming out sometime in October.
Yeah.
We're going to try and go to a launch event for that.
There will be multiple launch events all over the country with various members of the 405th in attendance. We always have conventions coming up. You know, we try to detail those as on our Facebook page and on the forums for people who are interested in hooking up with us.
Awesome.
Don't be afraid to come out. That is actually how I first met 405th people. I just went to Comic-Con and ran into Danny and all the other people already all armored up.
One of the detractors about meeting us at conventions is if you want to actually try to come up and talk and carry on a conversation, it's going to be interrupted frequently by pictures.
I will attest to that because I've done that a couple times.
I can't tell you how many times I've been trying to have a conversation with somebody about armor building and has somebody just come up and like, excuse me, can I get a picture? And it's like, you know, yeah, sure, no problem. And then you put the helmet on and 30 cameras come out. And finally, the person that's trying to talk to you gets frustrated. And, well, I'll catch you later. I can see you're busy. But, you know, if it's something you're interested in, get a hold of us outside of con. We have Facebook pages. We have Facebook profiles. We have the forums. We want you to come join us is the thing. We want more people to hang out with in armor.
Jose does need a few new reds on his side, I think.
Yeah, we definitely need more reds.
Need more? We got enough to take out all you boys.
I actually changed teams at PAX just so Jose had somebody to hang out with.
Let's see. Which team won the breakout at San Diego Comic-Con? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Heck yeah. Well, hold on. Are you talking about the personal challenge or are you talking about the group challenge? Because, you know, when you put Ben and I in there, I'm just saying, it was...
I was talking about the group challenge, in which case Blue just completely destroyed Red.
I don't know, wasn't there? I can't say I know what happened.
I still have that video that I haven't published yet. I need to do that. I need to get around to that. I got the pictures done, at least.
I'm going to say this is some Oni conspiracy, so...
I still have the GoPro
footage. Yeah, this is our friendly red versus blue rivalry.
You should see 405th game nights, though it tends to just be red extermination night.
Too funny. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Again, thank you guys for taking the time to come out and talk about what you guys are, what you guys do, how it is to go to conventions, being in Halo costume and all that stuff. It's been a great honor to actually get involved a lot more with you guys this year. I know I've been friends with Adam and Danny for a little while now, so it's been nice to actually kind of expand that to the rest of you guys and being able to actually talk to you guys and know who you guys are without saying, oh, I know you in your armor. So it's been
that's the other funny thing, if I may, is, you know, a lot of people you first start getting out to these things and you recognize suits and then you see somebody out of costume and you have no idea who they are.
That's why we have shirts now.
Yeah, that's why we have shirts now. So, well, thank you very much for having us. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, this was extremely fun. We should definitely do this again.
Yeah, definitely. I think this would be something to do again after Halo 5, once you guys have a bunch of Halo 5 armor and all the new Forerunner stuff. I'm sure people will try their hands at some of the new, like maybe Promethean soldiers or the new... Arbiter armor might be pretty cool if someone wanted to take that on.
Or the new Warzone weapon variants.
That too. There's going to be a lot of new weapon builds, I'm sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Again, guys, you can check them out at the 405th.com, 405th.com. You can also check them out on Twitter and their Facebook group. And they have a bunch of different regiments. And can you guys actually detail some of the other bigger regiments that are out there? I know the Pacific Regiment is definitely one of the bigger ones, but you guys have regiments around the world.
Yeah, Southwest, Southern, Australia's got a bunch of people. Of course, Northeast. We have a couple. The U.S. is pretty well split up, and then we have a European and Australian one that's pretty active. And I know there's a lot of customers in Mexico. We haven't quite organized them yet, though.
Working on it.
Work in progress.
And of course, Canada.
Yeah, Canada.
Canada.
Yeah, we kind of claim the Canadian guys, but they have IRL, I think, yeah, they're working on their own regiments and whatnot. But I mean, you know, the whole goal is to just bring fans together to geek out.
Of course, because what better way to geek out than actually living out your heroes in costume?
Yeah.
Well, we all just hang out and nerd out about armor and Halo all the time. I'm sure you noticed.
Yeah.
we go to dinners, we just talk about Halo.
There you go. all fun. So yeah, make sure you go check them out, please. And do you guys want to give your own personal Twitter handles out or anything else that you want to plug?
See, what is my Twitter handle? Oh, that's mine. So easy. At Benedict Choi. That's just my name.
Such a tease.
I'm not actually on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. You can check me out at Armory Props. Myself and Jose share the page. I also have my personal build page, which is Beaver Creek Proving Grounds.
Ah, nice. Nice play on the name there.
Yeah, well, it's not only is it a play on a Halo thing, but I actually live near a small town called Beaver Creek, but we got multiple plays in there.
Same with me. You can check me out at Armory Props with Jeremy Sloan, and then I have my personal build page on Facebook. It's called The Armory, so that's where I show progress on my builds. How I came about to building that specific project and where you can get materials and things like that for the project.
For me, you can just follow me on Twitter on Dagger0621 and on Facebook, Dagger6.
Sweet. And we'll have links to all of these in the actual show post whenever you go to our website. So make sure you definitely check out there to get all the links for these guys. So make sure you do check out our website. Make sure you check out our forums and all of other social media. If you guys have not heard, we've been releasing a bunch of Halo 5 content over the past week or so, from all the embargo releases on a bunch of Halo 5 gameplay. We have campaign stuff, arena multiplayer, breakout, and Warzone stuff that we've been posting for the past week. So please make sure you go check that out, and also make sure you go check out Ready Up's Live's coverage as well. Dan and myself were both in New York for the media event there, so we got to play lots of good games and got lots of great footage. He has most of his stuff out. I have a couple more videos I'm going to make, so please make sure you go over and subscribe to both of those channels. Make sure you check out our Twitter page, Facebook, Instagram, and for those that are listening to us after our live broadcast, you can check us out on Twitch, which we are actually now, as of a couple days ago, Twitch partners, so you can actually subscribe to our channel and help us out a little bit that way. And we're working on some custom emotes. We're going to be probably put up a poll here for some ideas of what people would want to see for the emote. You get your little Podtacular helmet if you are a subscriber, so make sure you go and check that out. Got a little bit of cleaning up and fancying up to do on the actual page itself, but I do have to give a huge shout out to Golden Boy for actually making it possible for us to get partnered up with being a small channel. So huge shout outs to him. If you have a chance, please go thank him. And make sure you check out the podcast network. We are part of a conglomerate of podcasts that are mostly gaming specific. And that is podka.st. has podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. So if you're looking for some other podcasts to help fill your day, or if you are somewhat interested in any of the games that they cover, so Guardian Radio does Destiny, Critzcast does TF2, and The Learning Cliff does EVE Online, then definitely check out those podcasts because they're really well-produced, have really great hosts, and they're really just overall good to listen to. So please make sure you go check those out. Again, I want to give a huge thank you to the 405th guys for coming on and talking to us about Halo cosplaying, making armor, weapons, all that good stuff. And we'll definitely have you guys on again, I'm sure, get some of the other regiments involved, and I'm sure we'll see you guys here pretty soon. I'm guessing there's probably going to be some of you guys from the 405th at New York Comic Con, which I will be at, so there will probably be a few pictures from that.
Yeah, you'll have to say hi to Doc for us.
Will do. That has been it for us tonight. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this fan driven show. I think there's probably no one more of a fan of Halo when it comes to people actually living out Halo in real life. So huge props to everyone at the 405th. Ben, Jeremy, Danny, and Jose, thank you very much for your time tonight. And for everyone else listening on the show, we will see you next Tuesday for our next Hunt the Truth episode, and for some of you, we will see you on tomorrow for our Fraggin' Fridays game night on the Master Chief Collection. Until then, keep on fragging trucks.